and favor by everybody. Legagarasecha means it'll be like an adornment around your neck, because people will respect you for it. So you will see two different things. And that's the expression, v'nimtza chein, v'seichel teiv, b'einei elekim, v'yodom. So the chokhma l'nafshecha is elekim, and the other is chein l'gagavasecha, means that people will look at you because you have like a beautiful necklace on you, so that'll be chein in the eyes of man. Oz teilech levetach darkecha. Then also a benefit will be, if you keep the Torah with you, so you will walk levetach darkecha, you will walk assured in life, you will go securely on your way, and in addition to that, veraglefa, and your foot will not stumble. The idea is that there will be two aspects, that Hashem, you have the betochen to Hashem, you have faith in God, that God will take care of you. So therefore, teilech, you will go, levetach, with assuredness, in whichever direction you go, assured that you'll have the shmira of Hashem. But not only will that bolster your courage and give you spirit, but also, v'raglecha leitiga. The truth is that Hashem will give hashgacha and will supervise you, that your foot, lotigo, will not be harmed, that your foot will not be damaged. Now, this is both two different things. The idea is that you will go yourself, bebetach. In addition to your going bebetach, you can rest assured that nothing would happen. You will not stumble. All right. Now, im tishkav lo sivchot, if you go to sleep, lo sivchot, you won't have any nightmares. Veshachavta, and you'll be able to sleep. Ve'orva, and it will be sweet. Your sleeping will be sweet. Ve'orva, and it will be sweet. Shinosecha, you're sleeping. The idea is because a person has trouble sleeping a lot of times because his weight of his conscience. But the sleep of innocence is the pshat. An innocent person who has nothing on his mind is able to fall asleep. But a person who has a lot of concerns and a lot of troubles and disturbances, so that person really cannot fall asleep. It's difficult sleeping. Therefore, it says over here that you will have this assuredness that God will guard you. Now, the idea of the shmira, and what is the shmira? The shmira will be that you won't have any nightmares, you have no fear that somebody's going to break into your house, so you could just sleep, relax and enjoy yourself. Altira, not only that, but altira mipachad pisom. You have betochen, you have trust and faith in God that you won't have any sudden terror. That means you're not going, if you hear something that's potentially very terrorizing, you won't lose yourself totally to this sudden terror, because you have bitachon in Hashem. But in addition to the bitachon, even if there is mishoes rishoyim, even when there will be the darkness that will fall upon the wicked, and you will see it come, but you also will have no fear, because you could depend on the Hashgachas Hashem, that God will save you. Just like we said before, there are two aspects to walk assured. That means that you have betochen, and that betochen means what? Faith. And that your foot won't stumble means that God will guard you. So here also, when it says, when you go to sleep, so you won't be afraid of anything fearful that will disturb your sleep, you have betochen, and you won't have any bad nightmares, and mishoas rishoyim. But if there will be something that comes, kitovo, the evil, that the darkness and the rishoyim, you also have nothing to fear. Why? Ki Hashem yieh bechislecho, because God will be bechislecho, in your trust, because you have trust in Hashem. Now, this is betochon, this is trust, minra, that nothing evil will happen to you. That means that nothing happens the person doesn't go ahead and do any protective measures, to take any protective measures to guard himself. But Hashem, Yia b'chislecho, he has trust in God. And that's the guarding that he expects, that Hashem will take care of him. In addition to that, if a person, that's in normal circumstances, but in a person which comes when there are problems around, when there are potential dangers, so not only you have bitachon, but you believe that God, ushmor raglecha, that God will also guard your foot, milochet, from coming ensnared and becoming caught and being caused. This is very similar to Oz Telech Lebetach, to verse 23. It's like the chorus of verse 23. Why aren't you afraid? Because Hashem Yia b'chislecha ushmor raglecha. God will be there in to guard you, right? God will be your trust, and he will guide your foot, milochet, from like stumbling and from being ensnared. All right, this is one part. Now he goes further, and he says, the next few psukim have both a parable, and also that means a parable and a melitza, it alludes to something else, but its literal meaning also has there's great emphasis on its literal meaning, where it says like this, Al timna tov mibo'alov, do not withhold good from the one who needs it. B'yeis le'eil yodcho la'asos, when you have within the power of your hand to be able to do this good. So what does this mean? They interpret this, Rashi says, that don't hold back from giving charity to the poor man, because now you have le'eil, meaning the strength, your word eil, strength, yotcho la'asos, you have what to give him. But it could be if you don't give now, then it could be later, you won't have what to give him. Perhaps a day will come and you won't have what to give this person. So according to this, it's speaking literally about doing charity, correct? But it also has another interpretation. It's speaking the nefesh, the soul of man. Don't hold back from satisfying the spiritual aspect within you. Go bidarkei Hashem and do that ball of, therefore, would be like the darkei Hashem. That means timna tov mibolov. Mibolov means don't hold back the good from doing that which God expects you to do. Why? Because you may not have time in the future to do it. So therefore, you should do it when you are still young. When you get older, you may not have the opportunity to do it. Now, just the idea of Al Tema Leksheefne, when I get older, I'll do it. Shema Leitifne, maybe you won't have time later, you won't be there. So therefore, it says, when you have the opportunity, don't hold it back, Mibolo. Now, this Pasuk, as you see, can be interpreted in two ways. Allegorically, Al timna tov mibolov, meaning from your spirit, from your soul. And it can also be interpreted in its literal sense, that when it deals with giving tzedakah, giving charity, don't hold it back. Al tema l'reyecha leich v'shuv umachar eton. It's just like repeating it. Don't say to the poor man, go back now, come back again tomorrow. The yeshi toch, but you do have it now. Now, really, it seems to be saying the same idea, but the Gemara interprets this for a little bit, maybe because of that. The Gemara says that this comes to teach us in a case that when a person hires someone to do work for him, so the din is that b'yeme titen schore, that he has to pay him exactly on that day. He's not allowed to keep the wages overnight. So if he keeps the wages till another night, he transgresses, and the Gemara quotes this verse of Shlomo HaMelech, which says, Al tema l'reyacha, don't tell the one who came to work for you, leith, go, v'shuv, and come back tomorrow, I'll pay you then. V'shuv v'mocher etein v'yesh itoch, when you have the money right now. Because if you do that, you violate this law. The Iker is from here we see that this is what Shlomo HaMelech meant in this verse. Because really, it would seem to be the same as the previous verse where it speaks Timna Tov Mibalov as a form of charity. So why is he repeating it? Don't say come tomorrow. It's the previous verse says, don't hold back that which is good from the hand of the owner when you have the opportunity to do that. And then it says, don't tell him to come back tomorrow, and you have it. So it's the same thing. The second pasuk is speaking, however, not about charity, but it's speaking, say, about a laborer, a person that worked with you. You're going to pay him and so on, but don't just prolong it. There are some people... B'yom atitin schara. Correct. That is what Shlomo HaMelech meant in this pasuk. The same idea by Tzoki, you also mechuyif to give. But it said that this is, when you have the money to pay him, this is what Shlomo HaMelech was referring to. Rabbeinu Yonah says, after admonishing concerning the observance of the entire Torah, Shlomo then warns people away from improper character traits to purify their deeds and their ways. All right, so he says, do not withhold good from the one who needs it, because you're required by the commandment of God to benefit him. So therefore, if you vow to give a gift, he says, of your own volition, hasten and try to fulfill what you promised as soon as possible. But that's Rabbeinu Yonah, correct? The Gemara seems to use it for a hireling. That's what Shlomo HaMelech meant. So Be'emes, although like you're asking good, it's in the Torah, but he wants to emphasize the character, certain things in the Torah you do, and certain things, you know, mitzvahs benot, but this is something which destroys your character, which is a corruption of your character. It seems in some way he double emphasized this. This is what the Rabbeinu Yonah seems to imply. Be'emes, if you look at 27, it says, Al timna tov mibolov, from its owner. When you take the owner, and if you say it's speaking about Hashem, it's speaking about the neshama, so you could appreciate it. But it's interesting how that goes on a person who wants charity. Al timna tov mibolov. You shouldn't hold back from giving charity. Why did they take the word tov and the word mibolov? But this is really in consonance with the idea that when a person gives charity, the idea is he's only like a shomer of God. It means that Hashem made it, that the charity really belongs to the other person. But he gave you this charity to be a nosing. Somehow the world has to have a giver and a taker. So therefore, he gives you this money that you could bequeath, do a mice of chesed, to give it to the other person. Because it wasn't that God didn't want to provide the other person with money. I mean, we say, Nesin lechem l'chol bosa, v'lei v'isi tzadik nezer v'zay mevakish lochem. The fact of the matter is that, and so it seems to imply that every person has his allotment. But you know, when you're dealing with charity, there are certain people that their whole parnosa will say is charity. If they didn't have the charity, then they really wouldn't have. So what's the idea of Nesin lechem l'chol bosa? That each person or each creation gets its amount. He had to go to charity. So the idea is that charity is also his. Because when a person is given the money, he's a gizbor. He like works for the bank. And he has the money that really belongs to the aniyim, to the poor people. So when he gives the charity to the poor person, it can be said, Al timna tov mi ba'olov. That's why it uses the expression, don't hold back the money mi ba'olov from the owner. And according to Rashi, the next pasuk is like a repeatal of the same idea. The same idea. Now, others want to say that Rashi wants to say also on the first passage that if you see someone else wanting to give charity to someone, don't stop that person from giving charity. So according to that, it's Al timna tov miba'olov. Don't stop this person from having the opportunity to do good. But there are two ways, really, to interpret that. Now, that's according to Rashi, that would be the distinction. One is speaking about giving it, and one is speaking about doing it. That means the second pasuk is speaking about actually giving charity, and the first pasuk was speaking about holding back from your chaver. Now, if it's going on the neshama, So the same idea, if it's going on the neshama, you shouldn't say, you'll tell them, today I want to have a good time. I don't want to be plagued by any spiritual needs or desires and conscience pangs. Tomorrow I'll take care of the flumkeit, as I say. So that's the second pasuk. The first pasuk is telling you, altim na tov mi bolof, to totally ignore your responsibilities towards Yiddishkeit. That's really the first pasuk. The second pasuk says, altim el reyacha, don't tell your nefesh, leich, today go ahead. Don't bother me. Don't be a conscience for me. Let me do whatever I want to enjoy myself. And I don't want to have any conscience pangs. Tomorrow, come back, and then I'll take care of you. All right, so that's the idea of really of kishefne eshne. When I have the opportunity, I'll do it. Now, al tachresh al reyacho ro'o behu yoshev lebeta chitoch. This is, again, do not think, tachresh is to, literally, it comes from charisha, like from Rashi says, from plowing. Because just like Takresh, what it means figuratively, it means here, don't plan evil, devise evil against your neighbor. But they use the word Takresh, which means plowing. So in its literal meaning, Rashi says, just like the plower normally prepares a place for the time of sowing, so in order to plant, so one who devises harm prepares a place for devices in his heart, how he will get up and execute it. So meaning, don't plow, planning. Plow meaning preparing the means to be able to take evil, to reap evil on your friend. Al takrish al reacha ro, vehu yoshev lebeta chitoch, when he dwells securely with you. So the idea that Shlomo HaMelech is saying, of course you're not allowed to hate someone. The Torah says, Le'sisne sochicha bilvavecha. So what does he emphasize is, so some want to say that you can't plan evil against anyone. But it's even worse if this person is not aware that you don't like him, that you're planning evil on him. It's like living with your wife as a husband and wife, and you're planning to divorce her. She's not aware of it. So it's bad enough, we'll say, the injury that you plan to do to that, but it's cold-blooded and it's calculating of a person to be such of a terrible nature that he's planning to put a knife in your back, and really he's smiling, and you're not aware of it. Now this is something that is a daily event in business, that you really stab somebody in the back, and this person had no awareness. So you're not allowed to hate anybody anyway. But this is even adding insult to the injury. The Rabbeinu Yonah discusses it. If you harmed you, don't devise harm against him when he is securely with you, because that is an ignoble character trait and a way of dishonesty. Instead, tell him first that you hate him because of the harm he did you, and that he should no longer have confidence in you. So irregardless of, when I'm speaking of what the Torah says, you know, about lo sisne sochicha bevavecha, he's speaking here of a terrible character of this person. This doesn't mean that you could advise harm against a person if once he knows about that, because you're not supposed to do harm to him anyway. But it means to say it's a much greater sin if you devise harm with him when he is not aware of it, when he can't protect himself from this. The idea is that you have to warn your fellow not to have confidence in you. It happens to many people. You know, they ask you, if somebody comes along and he thinks, well, you'll give a good recommendation and so on. You don't plan to give a good recommendation. Nice. So the same idea, you should let him know that you can't give a good recommendation. So don't be dishonest and mislead him. So in a sense, they say the same concept goes with the soul. Because just like you shouldn't act this way against your friend who sits in peace with you, so the body should not nurture or plan evil on the spiritual aspect of man. That why? Because the body has the opportunity to bring about the downfall of the neshama. Because what's going to lead him to sin? The body, the desires of the body. So here you have a soul who is sitting honestly with you, so therefore you shouldn't treat him in that way. Now you think that the idea is that he hates you anyway. Why? Because the soul doesn't let you go and do that which you want. The reason the soul doesn't let you go and do that which you want is not because the soul hates you. The soul really loves you. So therefore you can't say, well, that soul is holding me back and therefore I'm really going to pay him back. The soul is not really doing anything to you out of hatred. So don't plan this evil. Here again, the same idea. Don't quarrel with anyone or complain about anyone unless he did something that was evil to you. Same idea as before. There are a lot of people here, the idea is that you have a reyach hara. Maybe he did something, but here I'm going into somebody else's arguments. You're going to complain about somebody, enter into arguments. He never did anything to you. So what are you getting involved? Now, what does it mean he never did anything to you? And even if he did, we know you're not allowed to take vengeance, you're not allowed to take revenge, but it means he never did anything to you that the Torah would permit you. Certain times, if the person does not behave properly, if the person commits grave sins, so there this mitzvah of v'ahavta l'reacha kamecha doesn't apply, because we say that's only if kamecha as yourself. But one who is wicked and does whatever considered wickedness, that which the Torah says, so that is considered a type of a person who you may hate. So therefore it says, Al Torah v'imodam chinam im leigam lo chara, if he didn't do evil unto you. Now you'll ask me, fine, so just because this person will say is a Russian and he transgressed the commandment, will say, of v'ahavta l'reacha kamecha. So why did he do anything bad to you? Im leiga malol chara. Say he's a Russian. But he didn't do anything bad to you. The answer is that he did something bad to you. Because kol Yisrael arevim. Here again, if the idea is that he is openly rebellious against God and sinful, so he is causing you harm.
Directly.
So therefore, that would give you permission, then you won't be arguing with him chinom for no reason. Al tekane be'ish chomos. Do not envy. If you see a person doing violence, and you see that this guy is very successful, so don't be
jealous
of him. Ve'al tivchar b'chol drachov, and don't choose his way. You know, when somebody sees somebody else successful, so they try to do the same thing. Don't do that, because you should realize ki so avas Hashem nolos, he is crooked. The one who goes off the righteous path, nolos means to go off the righteous path, so he is an abomination to God. And the fact that he's an abomination, so therefore obviously he'll get paid back later. Yes, Yeshurim, but those who are proper, Yashur means straight, so do. So the one who is straight, so Hashem will bless him. That his counsel, that means that Hashem's sod, Hashem's counsel, so that's with the ones who are straight. God has some connection to them. God has something to do with them. But the one who is crooked, so that perverse person, God doesn't go after him. What happens though? Me'eris Hashem bebeis Roshah. The curse of Hashem is in the wicked man's house. Unevei tzadikim. But the dwelling of the tzadik shall be righteous. All the riches, the Mitzvah says, that the wicked man accumulates, that doesn't have any value. It doesn't sustain. But the house of the righteous person, that will always remain. Meaning that a tzaddik, the Malbim speaks out, although the tzaddik does not have a bayis, a house, we'll say, which seems to be substantial, but it's a neveh. Neveh is like a a temporary abode like the shepherd puts up. So therefore you can't compare that to the strong foundation, the formidable house of the Russia. Yet the Russia's house will be Me'eris Hashem, the base Russia, and the Tzaddik's house, no matter how small it is and how modest it is, that will be righteous. They will receive their reward. Now this pasuk of Shlema Melech, you know, we say it has so much truth to it, because you think that just because a person has accumulated a lot of wealth and he has a fancy house and so on, so therefore he has happiness. But no, I mean, this pasuk is quoted often. Me'eres Hashem bebeis Russia. It could be a bayis and everything else, but if it's the bayis of Russia, then there's Me'eres Hashem there. Wow. On the other hand, you could have a little humble abode of a tzaddik, Yevorech, you could see its blessing. Now, im leleitzim, if a person is attracted to leitzim, that means that he goes along with the cynics and so on. Yolitz, Hashem also will be cynical about him. Im leleitzim hu, if this person is cynical, so Hashem will also be cynical. He uses Lashon scoffers, but leitzim is also used cynical. You know, when the guy is cynical, and then when he comes to God and wants Hashem's response, Hashem could also be cynical. So im leleitzim hu yolitz, he'll respond in the same way. And to anovim, and to humble people, but if a person is humble, then eventually yitein chen, God will give, again, like we mentioned earlier, the passage, v'nimtza chen be'enei odom, he will find favor in the eyes of other people. Everybody likes a humble person. And therefore, eventually, he will come out on top. Kveit chachomim yincholu. The end result is that the wise person, he will inherit honor. He will inherit kavod. Uchsilim, but the fools and the cynics, Meirim Kolon. They take, right? That means that everyone, Meirim means like Truma, elevates, separates, Kolon. Wisdom does, I mean, the person who is a Chochem and goes according to the Chochma, so it's like he inherits Kovet. He doesn't look for the Kovet. The Kovet he inherits. The Leitzim, the chsilim, the fools, meirim kolon, by their action itself, they like separate for themselves kolon, shame and disgrace. Right? It's like they do the act themselves, that they bring upon themselves the shame and the disgrace. Now, in this pasuk, in this perek, there are many, many of the psukim that are quoted, you know, that are, I don't know if you've recognized some of them. Of course, we know Drachea in verse 7. Well, let's just look through the ones that I know that, you know, that I feel are very popular. We say, Beis, Ki Erech Yomim, Ushneis Chayim, V'Shalom, Yasifu Lo. This is a bracha. You use that by a Pidyon HaBen. The Kayan uses this when he blesses the child. Erech Yomim, Ushneis Chayim, V'Shalom, Yasifu Lo. Verse 4, almost everyone is verse 4, Mitzvah Chayim V'Seichel Teiv Bein Elikim V'Adam. And then 5 is not that popular, but 6 is used often, that if you have intent in knowing Hashem, he will Yasher Orchos Secho. Now, 9 is also mentioned, Kabedes Hashem Meho Necho, from that which you... How is that used? Migronecha, they always, the Gemara says. That's also very... And then, in 12, it says, Ki es asher ye'ahav Hashem yochiach. The one that God loves, that's the one that sometimes that he punishes, or yochiach, he admonishes him. And then we also know that Yekorahim ipnim, this verse in 15, 16, 17, 18, that's what we sing when we put back the Sefer Torah. Now, 23 is also a very oft-quoted word, Os telech levetach darkecha. 25. I think there's even a song to that. Al tira mipachat pisayim umiseis rishayim. Yeah, but they even have a niggin. After Alein L'Shabech, you have that phrase. Correct. And then, Al Takrish 29 is also very, I mean, oft quoted in Chazal. Al Takrish Al Re'echa Ro'a. Don't plan evil if he doesn't, if he's not aware of it. 33 is also oft quoted. Me'eres Hashem Be'beis Resha. That part. All right, so you see that in chapter 3, there are many things that we may not be aware of, you know, but we just like adopted these phrases into our vernacular, in a sense, into our prayers, or even into the way we speak. The thrust of this whole chapter is the same almost as the previous chapter. This we see. I mean, God forbid, this we see, the tragic, you know, people, they work their whole life and they think, and then the tzora starts, you know, from within, from zichalein, from within. And the source of the tzoras, you can see clearly, is the money. Is the wealth, the wealth and the money. They had money. They spoiled their children. They gave them everything they wanted. The other, you could see, and the other one didn't have. So maybe the children had different values, and they grew up different. We'll stop here. Let's put the doctor.